from Music City, Nashville, Tennessee. Two guys fumbling their way through the music business so you don't have to. Here they are. It's Scott and it's Hino and the Music Row Show.
You just made testifying look like jazz hands.
Jazz hands, yeah.
All right, stop that. Hello, friends. Welcome to the Music Row Show. My name is Scott.
And my name is Hino. Thank you for tuning in again tonight. This show is for you songwriters and musicians and performers out there who just want to figure stuff out here in Music City.
And we're just assuming you're listening because Michael just told us he listens.
I know.
But he's here with us, so.
Yeah, so there goes our listener.
There goes our listener. No, hey, we don't have any answers. We're out slinging songs at night just like all the rest of you. But we are able to find smart people and pick their brains and talk about the business with them.
Yeah, and you can chime in by going to Facebook.com/TheMusicRowShow or hit us up on Twitter @TheMusicRowShow, and we'd love to hear from you. There you go.
Yes, we would.
So we've got a great show. You just mentioned Michael. We've got hit songwriters and recording artists Bailey and the Boys with us here in the first hour. And, of course, Michael is one of the boys.
That's right. And then we're going to have hit songwriter and recording artist Lisa Brokop in the studio to visit with us an hour or two.
That's right.
So
you know Lisa?
Of course I do. Yes.
Well, look at that.
There you go.
You can hang out.
We'll have a reunion.
Well,
you might have things to do. We're not forcing you.
It's on the album, but we wrote it for the album.
Oh, there.
Great.
We'll see.
Is she here yet?
Not yet, but let's get to it. Hino, do the honors.
Absolutely. Well, joining us right now are Grammy-nominated hit songwriters and recording artists Bailey and the Boys. They got their big break due to a 7-night-a-week gig that they had at the Hall of Fame here in Nashville, where they were discovered by the group Alabama's Jeff Cook. And he arranged for an audition with RCA, and where they were signed shortly after that. And they went on to earn 7 top 10 hits, 12 top 40s with songs like Oh Heart, Long Shot, Wish I Had a Heart of Stone, and Fool Such as I. They also earned 8, count them, 8 CMA and ACM Group of the Year nominations, so that's amazing. So we are thrilled to be able to say, Bailey and the Boys, welcome to the Music Row Show.
Hello, how are you guys?
Yeah.
Hi, guys.
I wasn't sure if I should.
Yay.
Thank you.
You want to do that one more time?
No, I started to say their names, but then I didn't want to ruin the mystique of their group name, which is Bailey and the Boys.
We got to bring you out on the road. That was a great introduction.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah.
Well, I don't eat much, so that's all
most
right.
Most people think my name is Bailey. It's Kathy Bailey.
Yeah.
So
get on in that microphone.
I want to both. It's Kathy or Bailey, so whatever. Been a long time. It's amazing you guys know so much about the music biz because we've been here for 35 years. We still don't know anything about it.
Oh, we still don't know anything about it. So great.
So we'll have some questions and answers.
So between the four of us, this is going to be
a long hour. So what about this? I don't know. Do you know? I don't know.
Search me.
I don't know.
Ever happened to you?
Now, Michael, you used to ride your bike by some lady's house in New Jersey and would stop and you'd stop and listen. So you were like a stalker.
Do I know the story?
I don't even know where you found that story, but
digging deep.
I was probably 10 years old and I was riding my bicycle through a neighborhood called Scotch Plains.
It's all right.
Which is about 6 or 7 miles from my home. And I heard music coming from this house, and I just pulled my bike up on the breezeway. They have breezeways in New Jersey because nobody has air conditioning, you know.
Right.
And I just sat there.
Well, back when you were born,
they
didn't.
And after about 20, 25 minutes, this woman came out, and she said, "Can I help you?" And I said, "Well, I'm just really enjoying listening to the music." And she said, "Oh, have you been listening?" And she goes, "You like it?" And I said, "Yeah, I love it." And she said, "Well, come on in." And it was Carole King, and she had Jerry Goffin with her, and they were working with, I don't remember how many guys were in the band, but I do remember the name of the band was called the King Bees. And I got to spend an afternoon just watching them work with this group, and I was really young. I had no idea of who Carole King was or the impact of anything, and as it got to be close to dinner time, I said I had to go, and as I was leaving, she said, "Let me give you something." And she gave me a reel-to-reel tape, and she signed it, and Jerry signed it, and they gave me, and it was one of their demos called, and it's called The Road to Nowhere. So
really?
I have a reel-to-reel tape signed by them, given to me back in 1966, six, maybe? No, probably more like six.
We're afraid to play it, though.
Four or five.
Afraid it would just disintegrate?
You've got to have it converted to digital, at least, so you have it.
You know, it's on a reel. The cardboard is all corroding, but you know what? That memory will last forever. I'll never forget it. And that's actually a really good Carole King song, Carole and Jerry Goffin. Wow. And the really cool thing about the turnaround and the way things come back to you, go not that many years ago, we're in Nashville, Tennessee, and Russ Keller is an elementary school teacher, a really fine songwriter. He teaches over at Grassland Elementary School.
Okay, yeah.
And his father, Jack Keller, was the one that really introduced Carole King to the publishing company in New York, the Brill Building.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And we had so many stories. He came over to the house one day and I told him that story and he goes, it sounds just like Carole, and started telling me all these stories about it. And it was the connection. It was just like going back in time. It was awesome. It was awesome.
Have you met her since?
No, never met her again.
Wow.
And never spoke to her. And I would love, Carole King is probably one of my all time favorite.
I wonder if she's listening, she should call in.
It wouldn't surprise me if she listened to the show. I mean, honestly, I do listen to the show. It's a great show.
I appreciate that. I was just texting Eddie to listen on, too.
So, Kathy, who were some of your first musical influences and heroes?
Oh, sheesh.
Did you go into their houses?
I've been to many people's houses.
Well, hello.
I grew up in Connecticut. I was born in New Jersey. I grew up in Connecticut. And I was a folkie. I mean, I listened to, Judy Collins, Joni Mitchell, James Taylor, Cat Stevens, Linda Ronstadt in the late 70s. But that's pretty much how I grew up. I learned how to play guitar babysitting one night when I was maybe 12.
Mm-hmm.
And had no clue how to tune it. My father had always bought me an organ. I was always an organ player, and They come in tune, yeah.
That's true.
And so I just did all those open tuning things, and that's pretty much what I grew up on. Huh. But my mother was really into country, so that's how I, kind of switched. And, of course, country in those days was pop.
Yeah.
There were no really real categories, I guess. But so that's where I come from. People like Connie Francis and, of course, Carole King and, oh, gosh, so many people. I mean, Laura Nero. Lord, that's right, Laura Nero. How could I ever forget that?
So then you remember, each of you, the exact moment you decided that music was going to be your career, your lifelong pursuit?
Absolutely.
I can. And I was watching the Johnny Cash Show with my dad, and it was one of the few shows that I used to like watching with my parents.
Oh, yeah.
And we used to watch it faithfully. And I don't know at what point, what show it was. I don't remember that, but I remember the moment looking at my dad and saying, I know what I need to do with my life,
Really?
And,
so then he said, you need to get a job so you can go buy a guitar?
No, actually, I remember what he said. If my dad was still alive, I'd ask him if it was what he meant by it, because it's pretty funny. But I had, he said, make sure you learn to play harmonica so you could have something to fall back on.
Right.
I'm not sure what that means.
Sure.
Unfortunately, you still don't know how
but
to
I
play.
Remember the moment. So, since, I mean, that was the moment. And I did get to meet Johnny Cash, and it was backstage at a CMA show. And what they do is they, when you're about to be a presenter, they take you out of the seat and they have stand-ins.
Right.
So if anybody out there wants a really great seat to the CMA show, just tell them you want to apply to be a stand-in to take the seats.
Right, because they don't want empty seats.
Right.
So
I ran to the back and I went into the men's room there, and I was just making sure I looked good and all that stuff you do right before you go on stage. And I turn around and there's Johnny Cash. He's just standing in there. And it's just the two of us. And I introduced myself, and he goes, yeah, I know who you are, and I was so thrilled that he actually did know who I was. And I told him about that moment, and he thought you were Vince Gill
at the time?
No, he didn't think
We used to get that all the time.
But. So Johnny Cash is probably one of the most influential musicians in my life.
What did he say when you told him that story?
He didn't say very much. He just smiled. And, okay. You know, and
he was in the bathroom.
Yeah, yeah, really.
Exactly.
You know, my bothering me guy. Yeah.
he had just had this. He just got out of the hospital from doing. He had a heart problem, I think. Right. And I was just so thrilled to see him. It was just someone I always wanted to sit down with and have a conversation. You know, kind of like we're doing now.
Nice.
You
know? Wow. Nice.
Wow, wow. Now, oh, good. We still have time.
Well, then how about you, Kathy? What was the moment you decided?
Oh, that's right.
We just have more listeners. So oh, I just wanted to tell you that.
She's handling
her phone is burning up with Twitter followers
tonight for us.
My dear friends, Ed Stasium and, of course, Lila Nelson and Lila Compensano. But when did I know that I was going to be in music? I went to Catholic school.
That'll do it.
You know, hey, you know. Every day I'd walk to school. I lived in a little town in New Jersey. This is when I was really little. And the nuns would say, Kathy, you're singing this, you know, hymn. Mm-hmm. Every morning at 7 o'clock. And, you know, I knew then. I mean, I always kind of knew because my dad always wanted me to be musical. And so he used to buy me, like I said, organs. Mm-hmm. So probably as early as 5 years old. And I can still remember all of those songs, too.
Wow.
And my grandmother was musical. My mother was very musical. They had great voices. And so it was destiny.
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 All
right. Wow.
Yeah.
Well, this week I was driving around. Where was I? I was in Chattanooga. And I'm looking for a radio station that I want to listen to. And all of a sudden I start hearing Gladys Knight singing Midnight Train to Georgia. And I'm going, oh. That is just a song. That is such a great song. And there's actually some familial connection to you with that song, right?
Well, you know, yes, there is. My father is a school teacher at Middlesex High School. And the other, the music teacher was a man named Tony Camillo. And Tony Camillo had always, he was always telling my dad about he was going to Detroit and doing string arrangements for Motown Records and doing this, and someday he's going to start a studio. So fast, you know, go years from then, Tony asked me to go down to Cherry Hill, New Jersey, pick up some recording equipment, and I dropped it off in his basement. And a good friend of ours, someone I went to school with, and we played in bands together. His name is Ed Stasium. Mm-hmm. He kind of put the whole studio together, and I would hang out there. I was only probably 18, 19 years old, and I'd hang out at the studio, and as the whole studio came together, and there was all kinds of interesting people in and out, and one day they were cutting Gladys Knight and the Pips, a song called Midnight Train to Georgia. Man. And Bob Babbitt was on the session, and I think the keyboard player was Kenny Asher, and they actually cut that song a couple of times, and I don't think I actually played on that song. I played on that album, but I remember listening to that and just thinking what a fantastic record it was.
Yeah. Wow, that's cool.
That's amazing.
And more listeners.
More listeners.
Look at you.
Yeehaw.
Somebody turn off her phone.
I know.
Look at her.
You know.
My goodness. So you guys had kind of a career singing commercials there for a while, didn't you?
Well, you got it. Hold the pickles, hold the lettuce. Special orders don't upset us. All that we ask is that you let us do. Yeah. Serve it your way, you guys, have it your way. You know, have it your way at Burger King.
Yeah. So how did that experience doing all that, how did that help with your future recording career?
Well, everything helps. Yeah. You know, I mean.
That's a whole different world, though.
Yeah.
That's a whole different.
How is it different?
It's totally different. I mean, you're either in the jingle click.
Right.
You know, or you're in the songwriting artist click, because it's totally a click. I mean, it's tough. It's tough to break in. I think that we were lucky enough to know people who could get us into that, you know, genre of, you know, making a living, you know, and it was fun. It was interesting, but it's definitely different. You know, it's different. It's just
so
different.
So if I understand this correctly, it's different.
Well, yeah.
Okay.
You know,
you know, yeah. It's,
writing songs and then doing a jingle, that's different.
But were you writing them, or were you hired as
we had
the
chances to write them, yep. Mm-hmm.
Those lyrics were handed to us, and we did an arrangement of it and went in and sang it, and all of a sudden we heard it on the radio. It was one of those. And
Soft and Dry.
I think the word separate might be better than different, because it's not that it's that different, I don't think. But you know, you only have so much time. You only have so much energy. You can only make so many contacts. So where are you going to focus? What are you going to spend your energy on? And, you know, in the music business, like any other business, you have to get up really early and you have to start working really, really hard. And if you work really hard, you might get to do a jingle, or you might get a song cut by an artist, or you actually might write with a really good writer, or any number of, you know, 1,000 different things. But, you know, the hours that go into getting to whatever that is are just, you know, astronomical. So if you want to be a jingle singer, guess what? You better spend a couple of years just doing nothing but network and focusing and going, knocking on doors of people that actually have the power to say, yeah, would you like to try to sing this jingle? And we'll see what happens. So, you know,
in the same sense though, I mean, you still have to have an agent, a manager. Sure. So it's similar in that way, but to me, it was a totally different head.
Yeah, it is. It's a different head because it's a completely different clique of people. Yeah. Because the people that are doing jingles aren't necessarily the same people that are doing, you know, albums. The people in New York aren't the same people in Nashville.
Well, you can't say that because Barry Manilow
did all right. But did he do it while he was having his records out?
I don't know.
It was before. Yeah,
exactly. No. Yeah, that's the point. You know, well, and you can get caught in a situation like that and, you know, miss your opportunity to do what you really want to do in life. So you have to think what you want to do.
That's a long time ago.
That was a while
70s,
ago.
70s, right?
Yeah. We're gonna take a break.
I was only 5 then.
I know. You were so young. And yet you were still hanging out in fondue places. And we're going to talk about fondue when we come back.
Lord.
But we do want to say the sponsor of this segment is actually a new sponsor for us. Yeah. Toyota of Cool Springs. Heino and I are both Toyota drivers, and this is a great dealership.
Oh, we love this dealership. They have excellent deals, a great, excellent experience when you go there. We love that they have a lifetime warranty with unlimited miles and time on every new car, a 3-day exchange policy, which is amazing, unlike many other dealerships. And these guys, what I love the most is they're really low-key and very friendly.
That's right. Toyota of Cool Springs. Ask for George, the owner, and he'll take care of you. You know a guy. Just say you know George. On the web at toyotaofcoolsprings.com.
Yeah, we'll be back with more of Bailey and the Boys here on the Music Row Show. Welcome back to the Music Row Show. We are here with Bailey and the Boys, and that's a tune of theirs called The Road That Led Me to You.
That's our CD that has all demos on it. Those are our demos. So if you want to hear what songs were like when they were written, when you first put them down, that's the CD to get of ours.
Very cool.
That sounds really good.
How does one go about getting these CDs?
Now that you ask.
Oh, well, they're available online everywhere. You could go to CD Baby.
Yeah.
You could go to
Amazon.
You go to iTunes and download them.
And what's the name of this album?
The Road That Led Me to You.
The title track.
Yeah.
Crazy.
You guys see how it all comes together?
Da, 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 da.
We just came up with that idea of taking a song on the album and actually calling the album that for promotion.
That's insane.
Nobody's done that before.
Insane.
That's awesome.
I thought it was pretty clever.
That's so crazy. Yeah. It just might work. So speaking of the road that brought you to her, talk about the fondue. You guys, was it a blind date? I want to hear all about the fondue. And
you like fondue?
I love fondue.
I'm fond of fondue.
Intern Peyton's never been to fondue. She wants
me to
take
her
to fondue.
There's a lot of people that haven't been, and they don't know what they're missing.
I know.
And fondue
they
can
meet
is
their
so
future
in
wife
right now.
There.
I have a fondue
me too.
Set at home. We should have a fondue
it's
party.
It's actually my mother's from the 60s.
Mine too.
Yeah.
What color was yours?
It's like, it has like the avocado.
Avocado green.
Avocado.
Yeah.
And the,
of course
ours,
it is.
Ours is red.
Yeah.
It's like a dark burgundy red, but you know. Wow.
We're going to have a fondue party with Bailey and the boys.
This is going to be awesome.
You can do chocolate
fondue. I'll bring the chocolate.
Yeah. We'll do the cheese.
So I think what you're referring to is the meeting when Kathy and I first met for the first time.
Yes.
Was actually in a place called the Fondue Room.
Yes.
And it was in Pennsylvania. And
Mendenhall.
I was Mendenhall, PA. Mm-hmm. I was a freshman, I guess, at the University of Delaware, and I was looking for different places to play, so I was playing this place called the Fondue Room, mm-hmm. and I was just there by myself, and I actually...
You mean as opposed to playing football in right. school? Okay.
Right. Which is what he used to do.
Yeah.
Big right. guy.
And, big guy.
And I met this girl, her name was Janet Jackson. Mm-hmm. And
Miss Jackson, if you're
not
nasty.
Not the Janet Jackson, but that was her name.
Oh, the other Janet Jackson.
The other one.
And she told me about her girlfriend, sorry. Kathy, that used to, that would bring her guitar in, and instead of going to lunch, she would sit in the conference room at work mm-hmm. and play all these songs she wrote. And she said, you know, I think the two of you would be great together.
I was working as a secretary. That's, you know, you didn't get to that part, but... So anyway, so that's why I would bring my guitar into work because I had
an office job. So you just weren't some random person who wandered in off the street into the conference room to play your guitar.
I had a 9-to-5. I actually had a 6-to-5.
That's a good point, though.
6-to-5 job, but yeah, okay, so go ahead.
I should have elaborated your
own. I know, you should have. So anyway, remember, it's not all about you.
So I call.
Let's not fight.
33 years, huh?
So I called. 33 years. So I called Kathy up, and she came over to meet me. At the Fondue Room.
No, I did
room.
Not.
At the Fondue Room.
I didn't want to. I mean, I didn't want to.
Well, you...
Janet came in and she said, listen, the next morning she said, here's a guy I saw playing last night and he's really good and I gave him your number.
Uh-oh.
And I'm thinking, oh, good, great, you know. So he called me at work and, you know, and I said, well, you know, I got this job and blah, blah, blah. And I said, you know, I'll call you.
You played time. Hard to get.
Well,
you're not just going to say yes to any guy that calls on the phone.
Yeah, I know. Really?
Not.
Right?
No.
Especially back in those days. But
right.
Anyway, so I, you know, closed up my office and I got in my car and I said, I'm going.
What the heck?
What the heck? I'm going. So I went to this Mendenhall. It was a really beautiful restaurant. And I didn't know where to park and I went in the wrong door. And this big, tall, gorgeous, you know, tall, dark, and handsome guy answered the door, and we looked at one another, and he said, are you Kathy? And I said, yes. And I said, are you Michael? And he said, yes. And that was it.
I was on break, and I was hanging out in the kitchen, which was closed, just in the back, because there was no place to really go. And I heard a knock on the door, and I opened it, and there she was.
Wow.
Why were you going in that door?
I don't have any clue. I don't have any clue.
That's
I
good.
Don't know. It was destiny.
And, destiny. it was density.
And
yes.
I do remember the first song that I ever heard Kathy sing,
which was
within that first 10 minutes. And she sang Killing Me Softly, a Roberta Flack song.
Yeah.
With your Dove.
Yeah, and my Gibson Dove.
With your Gibson Dove, yep.
Wow.
And I mm-hmm. don't mind saying on the air, I did fall in love with her at first sight, right then and there.
Oh, nice.
Well, he said, so Janet says you can sing, right, and play, and pretty much everything I know on guitar, Michael taught me. I mean, I've learned over these 30 years, you know, like you're going to be a duo.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to learn how to play, you know, forget the bongos. You know, you're going to learn how to play. And so that's what I played him.
So then what took you from that moment to move into Nashville? What brought you here?
Oh,
my God. We have so many stories. I mean, we could take like, you know, the next 4 weeks.
You know, I think a lot of things, but probably, you know, the universe has to line up and tell you that it's the right thing to do, and then you have to listen to it. And we were playing the Ramada Inn circuit up in New Jersey, doing all kinds of songs. And one of the songs we used to do was a song called I'm Not Lisa. And that was Jesse Coulter's song.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And a cool thing is Jesse Coulter sat in with us recently, and I asked her to do I'm Not Lisa. She was at one of our shows. And I said, you have to come up and do it, because while we played I'm Not Lisa back in 1970, I don't even know what it was.
There was
a producer from Nashville who was just on a business trip.
Billy Sherrill.
And he said, what are you guys doing here? You need to come to Nashville. And I remember saying something like to him, well, we don't know anyone in Nashville. He goes, well, you know me. He goes, and I got a houseboat, so if you need a place to live, just come stay on my houseboat.
Okay.
He goes, but you guys should be in Nashville. You're wasting your time up here. And those words kind of stuck with us. We didn't go to Nashville immediately, and we didn't stay on his houseboat, but we should have. And
we took a little vacation trip down and drove the car down.
Wanted to see what it was like, and you know, and it's hard to move away from home, you know.
Sure.
And you know, especially when you've never really, you know, don't know what to expect and things. And it was a little different back then because you didn't have the internet, you didn't have as much communication and you didn't get to see as much from one little location. You know, you can sit on your couch now and see anything there is to see.
Right, yeah. Right.
You couldn't do that when, you know, back in the mid-70s.
You just had to come here.
You had
well, it's
to
not
do
like
it.
We
you
were veterinarians and we had an office, you know, somewhere. We could actually pack up and go anywhere. We lived in Bermuda for 2 years. Actually, we lived in Bermuda for 2 years before we moved to Nashville. And we played there, you know. And
so one night.
Lots of stuff.
One night after getting, I actually got abducted. Is that the word? By the
at that place we're playing.
Yeah, by the New Brunswick. Two policemen in New Brunswick decided that they were going to.
Yeah, but you have to tell the story. You can't just like snap into stuff like
I
that.
I want to
say
how we got to Nashville.
Think you got abducted.
So
by
it was somebody. It was a really bad night. It was a really bad night. And the next day, I ran into a friend that has that is a driver for Allied Van Lines.
Aha!
And he said, "I've got room in my truck if you guys really want to move to Nashville." Uh-huh. So we packed up and moved on a moment's
like
notice.
That.
Wow!
So that's how we got to Nashville.
You have to go back to the abduction thing because it was this. Oh,
I was just going to ask.
A break?
No, we don't have a break. I just would love to hear a song. Can we hold off on the abduction and sing a song?
But it's the reason
it's called
we
the
moved
cliffhanger.
Here.
It's a cliffhanger.
It's the reason we moved here.
But then you sang, and then everybody wanted
all
you
right,
here.
All right. You know, you sing, they will come.
That's
there you
right.
Go.
That's right.
That's what my mother always told me.
What do you want to sing?
What do you feel like playing?
Oh, gosh. I don't know. Michael, Row Your Boat Ashore. I don't know.
Love that one.
Right? You love that one?
Yeah, we'll build a little campfire.
Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
Yeah. What's your name? Like, why is it? It's a weird name.
Yeah, it's a first name.
It's a first name, and yeah. Where does it come from?
It's my dad's name. I'm named after him. He grew up in Germany, so that's how I got it. I was too young to protest when they gave it to me, so
interesting.
Sort of stuck with it now.
Yeah,
I didn't know what she was going to ask. I was going to go down the hall to the right.
Yeah. No, it's interesting. I wanted to make sure that I asked you that question while I was here. Okay. All right. So what do you want to sing?
I probably could have waited for the break.
That's all right. That's all right.
No. We're a very professional, well-oiled radio show here. So,
well, maybe a lot of people out there don't know that. So now they.
Well,
do.
We'll tell you a story after
that's
during
right.
the break.
We've got
that
one
you'll
for you.
Like right. about that.
You have to remember, I did a lot of radio and television. So
right.
You know, people like to know stuff. You know, look at all these questions I'm getting on my phone. See.
All right.
I bet that came from Gunner.
Ooh. This is called Turn the Tide. If my love is not enough to hold you down, then what more can I give to you? If I could, I'd reach into your heart somehow and find a way to make you stay. But I can't turn the tide when it's going out on me. I can't keep you here if you want to leave. A sailor's at the mercy of the sea. I can't turn the tide when it's going out on me. No. In my heart, I only want the best for you. And I hope you find what you're looking for. As life goes on, there's nothing else that I can do. Oh, and if it's meant to be, you'll come back to me. But I can't turn the tide when it's going out on me. I can't keep you here if you want to leave. Sailors at the mercy of
see. I can't turn the tide when it's going out on me. No, I can't turn the tide.
Wow. Woo. Very nice.
So pretty. Okay, so you were abducted by aliens.
And they dropped you in Nashville.
See, now you get it. So we're playing at this club. I think it was in New Brunswick. And, you know, we played there for like a year. And the police would always come and help us, pack, load in and whatever.
The police would do this?
Yeah, they would help us.
There wasn't a place to easily get your equipment in and out. So you had to. So when you got there, it was pretty busy, and there were lots of cars. It's like you picture New York City, not a little part of New York City. So they would kind of keep the car with the lights on, so you could get your equipment out, and they'd all come in. They'd have a beer. They'd enjoy the club. It was a really okay. nice club.
Yeah.
And at the end of the night, of course, it was like 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning. You look out there. There's no cars on the road.
Five cents a night.
A completely different kind of a scenario when you're loading up to go home.
Right.
And at the end of the night, I had just gotten a brand new car. And the first time I ever got a new car. And
we got it together. It was my car too.
It was.
I love you too.
It was about a week. I love you too. The car was about a week old, and a Subaru station wagon. And
it was beautiful.
Yeah, it had a real big engine in it, and. All of a sudden, from almost a block away, I hear a policeman with a bullhorn going, "Johnny Guitar, move the car." And I look back, and there's no cars on the street except one police car, which honestly was the next block. That's how far away it was.
Right.
And he goes, "Johnny Guitar, move the car." And so I just waved because I'm thinking, I think those guys
were thought he was being funny?
I can't remember what their names were, but maybe it's better that I don't. But I said, "Isn't that what's his name?"
Yeah, they were just in the club. Honestly, they were just in the club that night.
Right.
And so I didn't pay any attention to it, and I'm still loading the equipment in, going in the club, going out, loading it up, and all of a sudden the police car pulls right alongside of my car, and I've got everything loaded now, and I roll down the window to say hello.
Right.
And they don't get out of the car, but the one cop hands me a ticket through the windows. Now, what cop hands you a ticket through a window?
Right.
A car, right?
Well, when they saw
so just, I, and then I saw them, for and I knew them by first name, and I thought it was a joke. And I said, "Oh, that's great." And I ripped the ticket up in little tiny pieces, and I did confetti on the street right in front of them. And I said, "Have a good night." And I took off. Well, that was probably the wrong thing to do at that moment.
Yeah.
And they actually hit my brand new car with their car.
No.
Pulled me out.
A couple of times they smashed our
car. Actually threw me down against the back of the car, threw me in the back of the car, and took me to an area where they said I would not be able to live 15 minutes on the street.
And left me in the car.
And left me there.
So I was in the car by myself.
And I had no idea what part of the bad section of New Brunswick I was in. And I was just there. It's 3 o'clock in the morning. And I was pretty angry at the time.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, I see the cavalry coming around the corner. There's Kathy going up every street in New Brunswick trying to find me. And there she is, and we get in the car.
And my dented, brand new Subaru.
And I had a $280 ticket waiting for me from that incident,
right,
which I thought was ridiculous anyway. So I was trying to decide whether I should fight it or whether I should just pay it or what should I do. So I decided just to move to Tennessee.
Perfect.
Yeah.
And you haven't been back to New Brunswick since.
I swear that's exactly what we did.
Wow.
The next day, that was it. We packed up, and Kevin said, "I got room," and we moved down here. We drove in the dented Subaru, and we had an old English sheepdog at the time, which we still have one of those. But anyway, we drove down, and we got a newspaper. It's too long, right?
Okay, well, we got to take a break. Later. This is another cliffhanger.
Cliffhanger.
She got a newspaper. Dum, 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 dum.
What was the headline? We'll find out.
Yeah, stick around. We'll be right back with more of Bailey and the Boys here on the Music Row Show.
If my love is not enough to hold you down, then what more can I give to you?
Welcome back to the Music Row Show. That's I Can't Turn the Tide by our guest this hour,
could,
Bailey and the Boys. I'd reach and I think that's a demo of that particular tune, right?
It is.
All
it
right.
Is.
That's actually the day we wrote it, I guess. We wrote that with Craig Bickhart.
Nice.
Very, very incredible songwriter still to this day and singer. So.
And once again, you can buy their music at CD Baby, iTunes, Amazon, all of that. And
let's
just
not forget their website, BaileyandTheBoysMusic.com.
Oh, my gosh, yeah. My manager would kill me. It's BaileyandTheBoysMusic.com.
We would do BaileyandTheBoys.com, but someone wants too much money for it.
Uh-huh.
And they're like in some island somewhere. I don't know. Where.
Probably in Bermuda.
Right.
And then, you know, you can find us on Facebook, too. Kathy Bailey. You just have to spell it right, and that would be B-A-I-L-L-I-E.
There you go.
And Alyssa's listening.
On Twitter.
Alyssa Bonagura. Oh my gosh, my daughter, so talented.
Tell her that I just fanned her on Reverb Nation, if she's listening. I just fanned you.
Oh my goodness, okay.
I love your music.
Her. Oh, well, so, you're telling her right now.
I'm telling her right now.
Telling her right now.
Through the magic of the radio.
And my two of my favorite cuts on the Jody Messina album are those songs that she wrote.
Yes.
In addition to the title track, of course.
Title cut, Jody and Patricia Conroy and I wrote.
Nice.
Together. So it's called Me.
Right.
And it's about, you know, being a mom on the road.
It's a great album.
It's a great album, yeah.
Everybody. Have you had Jody
in
here?
Yeah.
Well, she's my neighbor.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, yeah.
And you should tell folks that we're going to be at the Cannon County Community Center. Is that what it's called? Center for the Arts.
Okay.
In Cannon County, which is right outside Murfreesboro. We're going to be there September
5th. In Woodbury, Tennessee. 5th.
Woodbury, Tennessee.
All right.
Beautiful theater. Beautiful, beautiful town, beautiful theater. Yes, come and see us. We'll be there. And
Jeff Cook Days on
August
23rd. That's in...
you're all over the place.
Wow. Alabama.
Do we have time for a song? Do we have to take one more break
we
and then do a song?
Why don't we take a break and then we'll come back for a song?
Because, right, let's do that.
Let's do that. This was a quick one, but we'll be back with more of Bailey and the Boys here on the Music Row Show. Welcome back to the Music Row Show. We're here with Bailey and the Boys, and that's a song of theirs called The Lights of Home. That's actually the demo of that song, which is the idea behind their project, their current project, which is all demos of songs of theirs.
It's actually, it's a CD of, well, it has new stuff on it too, but it's a CD of how we actually wrote the tunes in the acoustic format. And,
okay.
You know, so we tried to, you know.
Yeah, I mean, we actually pulled a couple of those tracks off of cassettes, if you can remember.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. What's that?
Yeah. I know. What is it?
Oh, my
it?
Gosh.
I'm just kidding.
You know?
We really? Don't have time for that. Play us one more
something
song.
Something that's broken somewhere, right?
Yeah.
You want us to do
another song? Yeah, we'd love to hear
give us a little bit more.
Well, okay, this is a song called She Deserves You, which was a hit for us, I don't know when, 1990-something, I don't know. It's a song that we wrote with Don Schlitz, one of my favorite people in the world. It's a song I wrote for my sister. Always an inspiration because she's depressed all the time. You say she deserves you more than me. You say she's the kind of woman I could never be. 'Cause she can make you feel the way I did in my younger days when our love was new. But she don't know you like I do. And if she wants a man, take a ring off of his hand and then turn around and say that he'll be true. Then she deserves you. You promise her the moon and she believes.
She's innocent and trusting, just like I used to be. And you say that when you hold her, you forget that you've grown older. Well, that might be true, but she don't know you like I do. And if she wants a man who'll take a ring off of his hand and then turn around and say that he'll be true, then she deserves you.
Part of that song, anyway.
All right.
Yeah.
So beautiful, so beautiful. Okay, so we're looking at this. I have two more hours of questions for you all. So,
two more years.
You did.
Got 4 more hours of answers. It's perfect.
You did 300 dates touring with George Jones. Almost 300 dates.
George Strait.
Okay.
Get it straight, will you?
Get it straight. I could have swore it said George Jones.
It was actually 284.
Okay. All right. Well,
Scott,
then, sorry.
It was 284.
Well, good thing I'm not asking that question right now.
We'll talk about that the next time.
We're going to have you back, and will you come to both hours with us?
Absolutely. Sure. And Lisa's here.
Yes, I know. We're so excited.
So talented. So cute. Hi, Lisa. Anyway, Lisa broke up. Anyway, just saying, you know.
All right. Well, let's see here.
So let's just recap real quick where people can find out more about you. That's Lisa. I'm sorry, Lisa. You got me saying Lisa.
Yeah, Lisa Broke Up.
BaileyandTheBoysMusic.com. Yep. Facebook, Bailey and the Boys.
And we also have a new Christmas record coming out with Gunnar and Matthew Nelson.
And you're going to come do the Christmas show with us this year?
And we'll make that happen. I'm sure baby Nelson will be born by then.
I would hope so. That would
be
a heck of a gestation if it isn't.
Yeah, and I know they're listening, and so that's happening, a new band happening with them, and so a bunch of fun
music
going on.
Our new project is we took our hit songs like Wish I Had a Heart of Stone and Oh Heart and Wilder Days, and we did different versions of them in acoustically. So if we were sitting around a radio studio like this and we were singing our songs, this is what they'd sound like.
Nice.
And, it's pretty cool. Great. So much talent coming through our house, and you know, listen to my daughter too, Alyssa Bonagura. And
she's good. She's good.
The Nelsons, go see the Nelsons and their show. They do a tribute to their dad, Ricky Nelson.
One of the really wonderful things about Nashville, Tennessee, are the people that are here.
Yeah. Nice. Well, thank you for spending the hour with us. We've had a great time.
So fun to be here.
Hope to see you again soon, at least at the Christmas show. And as you just mentioned, we got another great hour of the show coming up with hit songwriter and recording artist Lisa Brokop. Is going to be joining us in just a few minutes here on the Music Row Show.
Phew, that's all true. Stick around. We'll be right back. Strong.